Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. James and Wallingford.
Good morning, Chaz and everybody else. How are we doing today?
It's the Chaz and everybody else show.
And everybody else there. AJ.
Thank you.
Ashley, and of course, Phil.
Hello.
Yes.
Of course, but okay.
this is going way back. There used to be a gentleman's club, or let's call it a strip club, in East Haven called Cheetahs.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, can you turn what's the sound in the background?
Oh, that's the wind from my van. I'm inside my van, so it's just boxy.
Okay.
There's wind in your van. Would you have last night to eat?
Sorry. Good. All right.
So, we're enjoying the self, and I'll say you hear a little commotion over by the stage. And it's two dancers. A little shorter one, but, because they got the heels on, they're
stripper fight.
Yes. Oh, delicious.
Wow.
You can say rip their shirt and they will.
Not the word I'd use, but... Yeah. That's interesting. So, you don't see this every day.
The slapping sounds, yes.
Yeah, so one of the girls pulls the other girl's hair and is just like, what are you going to do? She pulled out that high heel and popped under the temple and she dropped. A pow! I was like, oh, and this is before, you make it rain. There was so much money being thrown at this girl that knocked her out.
Like a prize fight.
Oh, my God.
The girl who won got the money, not the one who was knocked out.
I would think, right?
No, not the one that was knocked out. The one that hit her in the head. It's just like, here you go. That was awesome. It's like, what are you going to do? She just pulled out that high heel. But that heel part popped right in the temple and dropped her. Boom.
Like stabbed in the head.
Yeah. Hit her in the head. Yeah.
You're full of sound bites.
Yes, you are. Bright coffee.
I guess with you guys. You guys are the best.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. You're in the running for the KISS tickets.
Thank you.
KISS coming to Xfinity on Saturday, May 14th, apparently to Connecticut for the last time.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
So far.
Either way, it's going to be a great show.
Right.
And everybody on with a fight story gets in the running. Izzy in Hamden?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Izzy.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
All right.
Good.
Yeah, I got a story. I'm up on stage, long story short, full cop representative, SCSU Blue Devils. I don't know if anybody knows Elmer's out in New Britain. So we're pre-gaming. We're pre-gaming the night before.
Wait, did you say you're on stage?
I got my family coming. Well, I wasn't on stage yet. We were pre-gaming the night before at Elmer's. So
I'm going to help you.
I meet my father.
So we're going to, all right. So you show up at this thing.
New Britain.
New Britain, yes.
Right.
Why bother? Go ahead.
Show up at the graduation. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chad.
No, you go ahead. No, you go.
Show up at the graduation.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I show up. I meet my father at the graduation, and he's embarrassing me. He's got this huge VHS. I mean, the biggest thing you ever saw looked like a boombox. I'm all embarrassed.
I remember those.
So we're waiting. We're waiting in line to get the name called. It's a long line. It's a real, real long line. So I'm finally getting up close.
And you have a buzz on.
I don't have a buzz, but I mean, I'm really bent out of shape. I mean, I'm bent out of shape.
Well, banged up.
So in the morning, I had.
No, when you say bent out of shape, do you mean that? Why am I bothering?
hungover,
do you mean like you're mad, bent out of shape, or you're drunk?
No, I'm just hungover. I'm hungover banged up, really bad.
Okay,
banged up.
Yeah, I'm banged up. So. In the morning for breakfast, I just shot down one of those heat up mac and cheese bowls.
Oh boy,
and,
that's asking for it. Dad's got a camera.
I'm getting closer to get my diploma, and I see.
It's
my
like you became a noodle confetti cannon.
Celebrate, good time, come on!
Boom. Fire the confetti.
We're gonna have a good
made
time.
Of noodles.
I'm so nervous. I don't know what to do, and my stomach's rumbling. Next thing you know, they call someone else's name. I go up, I grab my paper. They just call names, and you walk, and you just grab your diploma.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, really.
Right, so I end up yakking inside the bowl. Like, I just completely couldn't hold it anymore.
What bowl?
The basket where all the diplomas are in.
You puked on the diplomas? Oh,
no. Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing that was around. So I end up yakking on that, and the kid turns around. He slaps off my hat, and I go, dude, what are you doing? What are you doing? He goes, you just threw open my diploma. I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it. I went out last night. And he just ends up grabbing me. We're tussling on stage, and I just keep seeing my father.
Matt Lawler, host of the People of Boston podcast, which we are linked up to on our radio station website, was there on opening day. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, thanks. So you're at Fenway, and who'd you talk to?
Yeah, so I talked to these two guys, Smitty and Berkey. And
Berkey.
That's so Boston.
Berkey.
Smitty.
Hello, Berkey.
Not only is their name is Boston, but if you looked at them, they should have a picture of them right on Fenway Stadium.
Really?
On a Sam Adams label?
Boston, yeah.
What'd they look like?
They were kind of like shorter than average and red hair, decked out in Red Sox gear, you know, the Red Sox jerseys.
That's a
and
given.
Just the way they talk to you'll hear them.
The two leprechauns. Yeah,
shorter than average.
And very both, nice way.
And both gingers, yes. And gingers.
Well, they were going all in with the Red Sox theme.
Well, at least we told, but someone kept on hitting them in the head.
They were leprechauns.
Yeah, right. They had those baseball sunglasses on. Like, they looked like they were ready for a Red Sox game.
Okay. Oh, great. All right, here we go.
For your permission to record and film you guys?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, sweet. What's your name?
Smitty.
Smitty?
Berkey.
Berkey? Very Boston.
Berkey.
Berkey?
Yeah.
Smitty and Berkey.
Yeah.
All right, how's opening day? How are you guys enjoying it so far?
Well, we just got here.
Just got here?
No, I bailed out of work at 11. Took about an hour to get here. I want to find parking. I parked in Brookline. Had to hover down here.
Yeah. How'd you get down here?
Walked from Brookline where I parked.
Jesus.
Pick me up at my job site.
No, so
it's one of these guys that every eight words or less, there's an F-bomb.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Which is good because he talks so fast, it helps me to reset. It's like, oh, okay, I know where we are. Oh, okay, I know where we are.
I feel bad for Phil.
Me and my homie were walking by.
Oh, that's a good group laugh.
Yeah, right? Got everybody there.
Me and my homie.
Nice.
Hey, AJ, you got your hair color fixed.
Thank you. Look, Phil fell down the roof.
Okay.
Me and my homie were walking by his job site. I call him. I go, hey, we got an extra ticket. And he goes, I'll call you right back.
How'd you get off work? How'd you get off? Did you tell him?
No,
yeah.
It's left.
Yeah.
You go.
Scumbag.
How much you guys plan to spend on beer today?
Who's counting?
I haven't checked.
What was the answer?
Who's counting?
Who's counting?
Who's counting?
Yeah.
Right.
I like that one guy is trying to be responsible. He's like, oh, no, I told him I'm going opening day. The other guy was like, I just left. It's 11 a.m. Goodbye.
That's one thing I wanted to explain a little bit more is that Smitty was talking about how Berkey just walked out of work. He found out that there was an extra ticket available, so he just left.
Goodbye.
Just left.
Priorities, you know?
Right.
Did we find out what Berkey does for a living?
Fireman.
It's okay. No, I didn't ask what he does. I should have, but no, I all I know is that he just walked out of it. It must not be important because he just left.
A lot of cars are drive through right now beeping.
That'd be wild if he was like a brain surgeon. He's got a skull open.
Right.
Brett back.
Doctor?
Brett back.
Right. Brett Park.
I haven't checked my account recently. I don't really want to look because I went out last night and I'm
It doesn't
dying.
Matter. If he had $5 in there, it wouldn't matter.
What are you guys going to eat in there?
He's getting sausage.
I'm getting some street meat, dude.
Street meat. He's getting sausage.
Hold it. What is going on? Did he say stream beans?
Street meat.
Street meat.
Street meat.
Street meat.
Street meat.
Yep.
I was like, who has stream beans?
No. Well, I got with red hair.
And did I even have that at Fenway?
Right.
Street meat.
Street meat.
So Yawkey's way.
Yeah, one of the. I'm assuming it's one of those vendors.
Sausage and peppers, you know?
Hot dogs.
Good.
And some street meat, dude.
Street meat.
He's getting sausage, no bun.
Yeah, that's it.
Watching the carbs.
No, no. Trying to keep my girl out of you know?
It's not about the carbs. He's eating the other one.
What? What? Wait. What?
The carbs? What about the carbs?
He's eating it the other way.
He's having sausage, no bun, and it's got nothing to do with a diet, is what he's saying.
He snuck that one in.
They were clearly friends.
Yep.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, let me know when you need me to buy you a beer.
No problem.
I kind of want to hang out with them.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, yeah. They don't know what happened the last couple of innings.
No idea.
Or the first couple.
They have to look it up the next day. Yep. Like, hey, who won that game?
Yeah.
All right, and then you ask.
They're funny.
Then you ask Sox fans what they want to say to Yankee fans.
Yeah, I said, you know, what message or what do you have to say to Yankee fans? And kind of made a compilation of all the different answers that I asked, or at least the best of when I asked people.
Different answers, but same theme.
No.
Hey, what do you have to say to the Yankees? Anything? Yankees?
If you ask me.
Last thing we got for you is what do you want to say to Yankee fans?
Well,
yeah, go yourself. That's what we're hoping for. Yeah. You guys are going to suck this year.
Good luck this year?
Good luck this year. That's the best you're going to say to him?
Super sarcastic. Right?
We suck. Hey, you asked, Matt.
Anything?
Wait, what was that one?
The sausage.
That was.
Where's it going?
A couple older ladies, and I asked them, and they were just quiet for about maybe a couple seconds, and no one was saying anything, and one woman just started screaming.
Would you step on her corn?
Right, I thought she stepped out in front of an Uber or something. What
my bunion! Watch your feet, Matt.
That's like when the mailman pulls up and the dog's waiting.
Or we see food in the kitchen.
That sounds like me getting a toenail ripped off. Yeah,
that's the sound of my hernia.
Wow. Any more left to this?
No more time. All right, guys, enjoy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was it.
I think the screech said it all.
Yeah.
Yep.
My ears hurt.
Good ending.
They're all on the same page.
Yep.
All right. It's a great podcast, and there's lots of videos up on this website, the People of Boston podcast. We're linked up. What's the website? ThePeopleOfBoston.com.
Yeah, thepeopleofboston.com. And, it's a video podcast on Spotify, so you can watch, see everything as well if you want to.
Oh, great.
That.
Yeah, but, I want to see what Smitty and Berkey look like.
Yep. Curious.
All right. Thank you, Matt. A mechanic found art worth millions in a dumpster.
Yes.
That mechanic is on the phone right now.
Buddy.
Jared Whipple.
I am.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
All right, so the story is kind of framed like you hit the lottery, but it's a lot more than that, right?
Yeah, it definitely is. It's been almost 5 years that I've been working on this.
So let's go back to 2017. You get a call from a friend.
Yep, a friend in Waterbury that just called me about this barn that he was cleaning out and disposing of everything.
All right, so they're cleaning out a barn.
Right.
They find all this art. This guy knows that you have this space that's really cool. It's like a skate park / just really cool event space.
Okay.
And he thinks, Jared might use a couple of these paintings for his space.
It would look cool there.
Was that the thought?
No, he didn't even really know that much. He didn't know too much about my space at the time, and my space really wasn't like it is now. So it was even 4 years ago, it was much different than it is now.
Wow.
He just knew that he knew I kind of would maybe do something with it. He thought, I don't know. I don't know what he knew, really.
Yeah.
They didn't want to chuck it out, but he also wanted to give it to someone who might appreciate it.
Exactly. So when he told me about it, I went up there with my buddy George Martin, who he does a big, elaborate Halloween display on Millville in Naugatuck that you guys have actually talked about.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when we got there and we started, everything was covered in plastic, so we couldn't really appreciate too much either. We just started picturing using it for this huge Halloween display because it was the end of September. He still had nothing planned for Halloween. And we just figured doing this huge haunted art gallery type of scene in Naugatuck at his house. And we started pulling him out of the dumpster and just kind of checking him out. And then, you know, one thing led to the next.
How big of a dumpster was it?
It was the biggest one you could actually order. Most places don't even have them, but it's a 40-yarder.
Okay.
I don't know the dimensions of it. I should have got that. But it's the biggest one that you could actually get.
So this thing is stuffed with art.
And it was not only stuffed, it was just like systematically stacked. Like they stacked it in there the best that they could, the contractor, because he wanted to fit as much as possible.
Without damaging
it. So they pretty much put them in there carefully in a way just to fit as much as they can.
That was time consuming right there.
All right. So you take a look at some of these on site, and then when do you decide to take all of it?
I mean, me and George were pulling them out, and we were really looking for ones for Halloween. It's a big collection with all different styles. And at first, we were looking for some of the darker ones and some of the ones that'll work for Halloween. And it wasn't until we started taking the plastic off of them that we started seeing more. And the first trip that we brought back to MySpace was really stuff for Halloween. And then as we went back and opened more and just kind of found more clues and we both started appreciating everything more. It was just like, hey, I'm gonna take it all. I thought, I think there's something, you know, more to it.
Yeah.
On the other side of this, you got guys that are trying to clean a barn out. So they must be like, hey, man.
Hurry up. We need the dumpster.
We're trying to get things done here.
In a way, they were actually almost finished. And it was funny because the next day, the guy was supposed to pick up a full dumpster to get it out of there. And he went there, and the dumpster was completely empty. So nice. he got it for nothing.
Wow. And did you get all of the art, or was some of the art thrown out?
Now, the part that I didn't know at first was a few days later, I was talking to my same contracting buddy who was hired. And he goes, Jared, he goes, you were kind of late, because he was telling me about this barn he was probably telling me about it for a week, but I kind of slacked on getting over there.
Yeah.
And because he told me there was no cars or motorcycles or anything in there. He wasn't really telling me what was in there. And so I kind of slacked, and he goes, Jared, he goes, 2 40-yard dumpsters already went before you got there.
Oops.
Wow.
So this was really, and this looked like a lifetime's worth of work. Ooh. And it was 1 40-yard, so it was really a third of what was in that barn.
Well, all of that art now that you have is way more valuable.
Yeah.
Because there's less of it.
Exactly right. So, yeah. So you kind of helped yourself there.
Yeah.
And think, if you didn't go there, none of this and this artist's name would not have come to light.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So now you get all this art back to your place. What happens next?
I mean, next was just the first thing was to get them out of this old plastic that they were in for 30, 40 years. This barn was very run down. There were a lot of animals living in there. And if they weren't all wrapped in plastic, I honestly don't think I could have done anything with them. But since they were, that was the first thing, to get them out of the plastic and hang them on the wall, photograph them. That was my uncle's thinking. He was helping me at the time. And he's just like, Jared, we got to get them out of this plastic. We got to photograph them. We got to catalog them. And that's when a lot of the clues, you know, started coming in and as to who the guy was. And that's really when I started appreciating the art even more, was as you're opening them up and as you're looking at them and figuring out what they are and all that.
So you look up, were you able to make out the artist's name on the paintings, or was there some other thing that where you came to find out who it was?
There was a couple of clues in the beginning. Once we started getting it all back, even the first day, once we started getting it all back to my place, me, George, and his son was here, Logan, and like we started looking up finding some clues, looking some things up, and we did find out who the artist was. And once we found his real name and just did a quick search, it was just kind of mind-blowing on the stuff that the public installation work that he did in New York City back in 1980.
Yeah, so the artist turned out to be Francis Hines.
Yep.
Now, this is a guy who had a regular job as an illustrator for, was it the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, one of those big New York papers?
He did a lot of stuff that went in the paper. He was really for the department stores like B. Altman.
Okay.
And he did the biggest one in Connecticut. His biggest account was G. Fox.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So this is before computers. He would, you know, this is when you're a graphic designer. You would make this all on a board.
Yeah. It's work. Yeah, lots of work.
Yeah.
It was even before photography took over. He was right before photography took over because he was doing a lot of furniture.
So that's his regular job, and then when he wasn't doing his regular job, he produced a lot of art.
And this was like abstract art, right? I can see that because he had to be so regimented in his work with what he did for the papers and stuff that he could kind of just be his own free spirit and go wild on his regular stuff, I would imagine.
What you see online and what you've been seeing is very abstract, but a lot of the stuff from the 60s and 70s isn't, and there's a lot of automotive involved, which is really cool. There's just a lot of car parts, and there's a lot of automotive art involved in it.
Yeah, it's weird. It's so like the universe, you know, you were meant to find this art.
Yeah.
You're a mechanic, a motorcycle car guy.
Right.
You find this art, one, appreciate it. Two, this guy did a lot of melding of mechanical and human. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's weird that this was before we thought about man and machine
robotics
coming together.
Yeah.
And now we know it's obvious and, you know, it's our destiny.
Yeah, ahead of our time.
I looked at some paintings online, and it's cool because I don't know nothing about cars, but you can tell that it's a car. And as you look closer, you see, oh, my God, that's a rib cage.
Right.
Very cool stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And even in his journals that we were in the barn and some writings and stuff, in his pamphlets, you could kind of see that he was talking about technology was taking over at an incredible force, and are we ready for it? And this was in the early 80s that he was talking about it.
That's nuts.
And I'm sure there were other guys, too, that were talking that way. But some of the writings and journals that he did were really cool.
How many pieces do you have from him?
It's a big collection. It goes from... starts from the 1950s and goes all the way up until 2015.
Wow.
So it spans, and there's a lot. It's a very big collection.
And he died in 2016 at the age of 96, right?
Exactly.
Good run.
So yep. So the last work you have from him, he was 95.
Wow.
No, I actually have one from when he was 96, and some of this stuff later in life, his son had, and his son ended up bringing to me, and me and his son are very close friends now, and he ended up bringing me some of the stuff that was done later in life.
So you're a mechanic. Your friend calls you, hey, I'm cleaning out a barn. You should take a look. You get up there. You find a 40-yard dumpster full of art. You take it back, find the artist, research the artist, find out he was a very significant person who staged. He was the only one to wrap Washington Square, right?
Yeah, so he wrapped Washington Square arch and completely covered it in fabric, turned it into this fabric sculpture in 1980. But he also did a lot of other public installation work in New York that never really surfaced until I started researching and kind of finding all his crew members and his friends and his family and kind of finding everything on him. And now some of it's out there. But he did a lot of other public installation, too, as far as wrapping buildings and stuff at JFK Airport and the bus terminal and Union Square Park and others.
So last September, you have an art show in Waterbury, right?
Yep. They were the first ones. The Mattituck Museum was really the first ones to start taking me seriously, and they were local. And the cool connection there was is Francis Hines had a show there in 1975.
Wow.
Nice. That's really cool.
Like he came home again. Yeah.
Yeah, full circle.
So that's what I was thinking, the whole full circle thing. I was like figuring, hey, let's start where he did. It's a local story. The stuff came from, you know, Watertown. And he lived in Watertown, and he had a show there, and kind of let's do this full circle. And Bob Burns, the director there, I met with him, and he loved the work and loved the idea of everything, and that's where I started.
Jared Whipple's on. He's the rescuer of
the Heinz collection, a mechanic who found art worth millions of dollars in a dumpster in Watertown and then has spent 5 years of his life photographing, cataloging, learning about, researching, promoting this artist. So your show at the Matatuck in September, you brought his crew all back together, and it was this awesome reunion, right?
So after about 3.5 years, almost 4 years, I found all of his crew members that I could that were still alive and that were wrapped to the arch, and his family and his friends, and they all showed up at the Matatuck. There was probably about 10 crew members that wrapped the arch, and then a whole bunch of friends and family, and some of them hadn't seen each other in 40 years, and they all came to that show, and it was kind of like a reunion for all of them. And then after the show, we did a big after party 2 minutes away at my warehouse space, and it just they just loved it, and I've been close friends with them since.
Yeah, you were nice enough to let young Chaz hang a piece at this after party.
Awesome.
I did, and I've been skateboarding with him for years, and he actually, young Chaz was the first one that did an art show. I let him use my space a few years ago before any of this was going on.
Wow, that's awesome.
And he
very
actually
cool.
did an art show at my place, yeah.
So the next thing, you know, like CBS and all of the world's calling you for interviews.
Yeah, yep. It's been pretty chaotic this last week or so, something that I never saw coming, never expected, and very chaotic.
Were you
but I started
on,
with the morning show.
Yeah, the CBS, you were on, what, yesterday morning?
Yesterday morning, yep.
Okay, what was that, CBS This Morning or whatever, their Sunday morning show?
Yeah.
Sunday morning show with Jane Pauley.
Oh, wow. That's
just right there.
Pretty big deal.
Yep.
Pretty big deal.
I called him last night to talk for the interview, and obviously he hadn't met me yet, so he didn't have my number stored in his phone.
And you were drinking all day.
Yes, you were.
He did not know that. When he picked up the phone, he goes, hello?
Yeah.
That's okay. We all do that.
Who else is bothering me now?
We all do that when she calls. Hello?
Hello?
Like, are you comatose? Yeah. Are you sober?
Jared Whipple is
well,
on.
Well, I've been telling people to try to text first because it's been a little crazy, and I'm not sure who it is.
Yeah, well, people all over the world want to hear this story.
Yeah.
It's really a tremendous story.
It's amazing.
But it's not just that it was found. It's what you did with it after that and what you continue to do. It's really such a tribute to this artist.
Yeah.
It would have been a horrible tragedy if like his art was thrown and we just never got to know or hear his name or see his work.
Yeah.
It's really something. And that the family has embraced this and said to you, keep the work and
that's
keep
nice.
Doing what you're doing is great. Where can
No, they love it. They love it.
Where can the rest of us see this?
I mean, we have a show opening up right now with the Hollis Taggart Gallery, which is their main location is in New York. But the show for this work is in Southport, Connecticut, and it's opening up on May 5th, and it'll run until June 11th.
Okay.
And you're putting 20 pieces of his art on display. How do you pick that 20?
They pick them. The gallery owner picks them with me, and this art historian who's been involved, they pick them with me, and it's really... We were trying to start with some of our, you know, best foot forward as far as Francis's work goes, and there's a lot of automotive ones involved with this show.
I was talking to Jared last week, and he was upset that the story has become about him and not about the artist.
It's
all about like promoting this artist.
Heart's in the right place.
Most people, Jared, in your situation, you know, you're not poor, but you're also not a super rich guy. You're a hardworking guy. A lot of people would take this art and just say, how much will you get me for it?
It's like you're in my head right now.
Do you plan on selling any of it?
To get recognition for an artist, and this has been like a full-time job for 5 years. I've put off everything. I haven't worked on cars at night. I haven't done any side work. I haven't really done anything else, just a little bit of my full-time job during the day, which I do building maintenance. But to get recognition for an artist, that's why he never got any recognition, because there was no evidence of sales. And if you don't sell any work, you'll really never get recognition, right. And you'll never be known in the art world.
Right.
So this is a limited number. This is a limited number of works that are for sale with Hollis Taggart.
Gotcha. All right. We'll link up on the radio station website. What a great story.
Yeah. Beautiful, man.
The perfect person to find this.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And cherish his name, Francis Hines. We're linked up on the radio station website. Thank you, Jared Whipple. Appreciate it. Bus Stop Perspective. Jimmy Rapp's on the phone. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Easter.
Hey, you too.
Jimmy Rapp. Yes.
Thank you. What's going on? Listen, Jared Whipple finds millions of dollars worth of artwork in a dumpster, and I go looking for anything that's worth anything, and I find bills. That's all I find.
I found a sandwich once, half eaten.
It was good. It's like $1 million.
Yeah. So what's happened? I went down the bus stop downtown New Haven, and I just tried to get some current event topics from the ladies and gentlemen down there.
You get
and,
the real perspective of life.
The pulse of the streets.
Bus stop.
Yep.
Yeah, the pulse of the bus stop. But that's it. These are real people that you know, there's no sugarcoating anything down there. I love going down to the bus stop. These people are great.
All right. And who's the first person we're talking to?
I talked to Smokey first. He's a great, great guy.
Hi, what's your name and where are you from?
Smokey, New Haven.
Smokey, do I have your permission to use this audio?
Sure you can, man.
What are you doing down the bus stop?
None. On a Sunday down here, it's very slow.
What's your favorite day to come to the bus stop?
Hold it. You're there on Easter.
Yeah. I had some time yesterday, and I was actually, I don't want to say I was driving through because nobody really drives through that particular area on purpose.
Were the buses running on Easter?
Yeah, I guess they were on a Sunday schedule.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So there wasn't many people at the bus stop, but I happened upon a group of individuals, and I figured I'd stop and chat.
Great.
My favorite day is coming to the bus stop is on a Friday.
What does he have in his hand right there?
What he got in his hand? He's drinking Paul Masson.
What is it?
Paul Masson.
What's that?
That's the good. That's the good.
That's wine, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not Parmesan.
No, it's Paul Masson. Brandy.
Brandy? Yeah.
Brandy?
Brandy. Yeah, I think it's
Paul Masson.
Yeah.
No, didn't the commercials? Yeah, Orson Welles, Paul Masson. Yeah,
huh.
We'll sell the wine before it's time. Yes.
Are you sure?
Maybe he was drinking liquor.
Okay,
I would think wine.
Ashley, can you look that up? Paul Masson.
Paul Masson. Yes.
I don't even know how to spell it. Masson.
It's Masson.
Right, Masson.
Sounds very fancy.
It does.
Brandy.
Brandy. It is brandy.
But they had wine, too, I
did
remember.
They?
Yeah. Because that's when Orson Welles did the commercials for Paul Masson wines.
I remember those commercials.
Yeah.
Maybe they just
stopped making wine. I said, you know what? Our market's brandies.
Yeah.
So, I'd also like to point out that this wasn't just like a little flask of Paul Masson. This was a very large bottle.
Right.
Oh,
was
good.
It wrapped in a brown paper bag by any chance?
There was no brown paper bag.
Wow.
Good.
I've never heard this brand before. I thought he was saying, I don't know, pour me some. I was like, oh, well, I love it. He's willing to get right in there and figure it out.
Right.
All right. Oh, it's liquor.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what goes on down the bus stop.
Yeah. He's like my big brother.
Oh, all right. Okay. He's teaching you well then.
Yeah, big time, even though I'm older than he is.
What's the craziest thing you've seen down the bus stop?
Oh, since last night, a dude over there got shot.
Somebody got shot.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, man.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I love that he said since last night.
Since last night.
When are you talking about?
These are current events.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since last night.
Crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
We forget, that we have it good.
Yes.
Daily reality for some people.
True.
Yeah.
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 What happened? Do you know?
I just got in. And they tell everybody just stay away from the crime scene.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. I don't know if homeboy made it or not, or whatever the case may be, but...
Oh, geez, that's too bad. Well, it is Easter, so I'm going to ask you to say it's...
I like how you just shift gears, because that's it's a tough...
Right. What do you say?
What can you do?
Like, I don't know if the guy made it or not.
Right.
Well, so it is Easter, so let me get back to my question.
So there's an apartment available, yes.
No. That whole resurrection thing, yes.
They were having like a moment of silence, and everybody. And I was like, "Okay, let me just change gears."
Oh, were they?
Is that what's going on behind you? I heard a different conversation going on.
It did. It sounded like a eulogy.
Yeah.
It's like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Were they lighting a candle?
Yeah. I didn't,
Wait,
Jimmy. Apparently, I walked into the wrong thing.
That's why they were there.
Wait.
They're making a memorial, and you come walking up. Hey,
wait.
Go, happy Easter.
Wait. Is that what happened?
Hey, can I talk to you for
sure,
a minute?
Yes.
Well, we're just eulogizing someone, but sure.
You seem crazy enough. We'll talk to you. No other idiot would come over.
I guess that's why they were celebrating with the Paul Masson, and there was like a celebration of life.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I ruined that one for them.
They were drinking to him.
All right. But they were willing to talk to you, and it's important to get the story out there. So good.
Well, it is Easter, so I'm going to ask you to say a tongue twister. Brad, you got to say it three times fast. Each Easter, AJ eats 80 eggs.
Each Easter, AJ eats 80 eggs. Each Easter, 80. EJ eats 80 eggs.
What did he eat?
EJ eats 80 eggs.
He's got the E down.
I love smoking.
He's awesome.
Oh, he was great. He had a great jean jacket on. He was
You got to go back 2 hours later when the Paul Masson's empty.
Right.
Okay. Let's try it again.
He'll sound like me now.
Try again. I didn't think I was going to interrupt your eulogy twice.
No.
But yeah, true.
That's good.
See, I don't mess it up.
That's all right. Thank you very much.
I love Smokey. Who's up next?
We've got Streets coming up next. He was like their leader.
Oh, the leader.
There you go.
Yeah, he was the leader of the group of the individuals I interviewed at the bus stop.
How can you tell he was the leader?
He mentioned at some point that he was there watching out for everybody, taking care of everybody, making sure everybody was okay because nobody else watches out for him.
Okay.
Sounds good to me.
Good.
Legit.
Sounds like a leader.
Here we go.
Hi, what's your name? Where are you from?
Streets from New Haven.
And do I have your permission to use this audio, Streets?
Why not?
What you doing down the bus stop?
Making sure my people are, because we all out here together, you know. It's Easter.
It is Easter. It is. Any plans for Easter?
Well, you know, making sure everybody all right. We drinking well.
Now, what's the craziest thing you've seen down here?
You want to know the craziest shit I done down here? Because ain't nobody done more than me.
Tell me that.
What a true confession of the street.
Shout out to me.
He sounds like Tracy Morgan.
He is the leader.
Yep.
That's right.
He's the leader.
Shout out to me.
Right.
Shout out to me.
Shout out to me.
Because ain't nobody done more than me.
Sounds damn proud of it, too.
It does.
Very proud of it.
Tell me that.
Streets. Now, this is the I can get locked up for my.
Hold it. Is there a skip?
That was a quick backtrack.
Yeah.
What did he say?
I think he was ready to start explaining what he has done or what the crazy things that he had seen was down there. And then he just backtracked. It was like, wait a second.
I don't want to get locked up for my stuff.
He hit edit. Yeah.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah.
Can we hear that again?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Here, let's see.
Ain't nobody done more than me.
Tell me that.
Streets. Now, this is that I could get locked up for my.
I could get locked up for my.
Okay.
Backpedal.
Good for me. Works for me.
Yeah.
That was the actual rewind button.
Yeah.
In real life.
That's what we heard him taking all those words back.
That was his dump button.
He took about 10 steps back as he was doing it.
Nice. Little dance move, too. Cool.
I love it.
But, my man took a shower in the fountain, butt naked.
Jesus. So I'm going to ask you to say a tongue twister. Say it three times fast. I know you can nail it, Streets. Each Easter, AJ eats 80 eggs.
Each Easter, AJ eats 80 eggs. I don't know why he ain't got no grits and bacon with it, but
I appreciate your time.
I'll take it.
Nailed it.
I'll take it.
He did nail it.
Yeah, he did.
Almost.
He starts saying Eddie's eggs at the end.
Eddie's eggs, but he also made eats singular. Eat. There, he dropped it. S.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him a pass on that.
And he was able to throw grits in there, too.
True. Grits and bacon.
I don't think they got the Paul Masson bottle to him yet.
No.
Yeah. So.
But, and somebody called up a liquor distributor and said that.
Vinny. Yeah. And he said that they do make a wine, a Paul Masson wine as well.
Okay. Commercial.
So everybody was correct.
Cool.
All right. Who's next?
Everybody's on the same page. We've got John, who lives in the woods.
Here we go. Hi, what's your name? Where are you from?
I'm John Glass, and I'm from New Haven.
Do we have your permission to use this audio?
Yes.
John, what brings you to the bus stop today?
Oh, because where I live at, I'm in the woods, so I come downtown to see people.
You live in the woods?
In the woods.
Whereabouts?
You don't want to know.
Talk to me about the homeless problem.
Wait. He lives in the woods, but you don't want to know where.
Well, he's wanting to show up at his house on a, you know, doesn't have any Entenmann's cake for him, stuff like that.
Right,
you know.
Right.
Yeah.
You're not prepared.
I love that he doesn't go to the city to, like, get groceries or, you know, stock up on toilet paper. Come to the city to see people.
You're just going
to
stop by. Yeah.
I get tired of the squirrels.
I was trying to picture which woods he was living in. Like, as I'm talking to him, I'm like, okay, where in New Haven are there woods that's around here that he could easily walk to? And I'm thinking, there's really no woods.
We're in
downtown New Haven.
You don't want to know.
Maybe the apartment complex is called the woods.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the homeless problem in New Haven.
Talk to me
about the homeless problem in New Haven. I can tell you, I was homeless for 2.5 years, and they don't do nothing. Okay? Unless you do something. What's the craziest thing you've seen down here at the bus stop?
Can you imagine that? Like, living without a house?
No.
Like, nowhere to go for 2.5 years?
No, it sucks.
It's terrible. I would like to point out that he said he was homeless for 2.5 years, but now he's got a house in the woods, or he lives in the woods. I don't know if that makes him, you know, not homeless any longer, so maybe it is an apartment complex. But
yeah,
it is really a terrible...
Yeah, maybe it's called the woods.
It's a terrible situation down there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Huge. Yep.
The dude with the spacesuit is all white with a helmet and everything. People was taking pictures.
Okay, wait. This is the weirdest thing he has seen.
No, at the moment he sees this. Hello. Come back. Hello. That's an MTV commercial. This music was playing. Dan, 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 dan.
Wait, can we go back? I want to hear, like, from the question, how did we get to the guy in the spacesuit?
What's the craziest thing you've seen down here at the bus stop?
The dude with the spacesuit is all white with a helmet and everything.
I like someone in the back saying,
today.
Yeah, he nailed it.
He nailed it.
Today.
Nailed it.
So more than one person
the
saw this.
The guy in the spacesuit.
Right, more than one person
it.
Saw this. Okay.
Yeah.
He's all white with a helmet and everything. People was taking pictures with him.
You think maybe it was the Easter Bunny?
Right. Just lost the ears. Ears flew off. I don't know.
I tried so hard to find this guy.
Maybe it was a hazmat suit.
Might have been. There is a COVID testing area right there.
That's probably what.
He had a spacesuit on?
Spacesuit on. Astronaut.
Was he drinking?
I don't even know.
His face.
He had the whole...
He had music...
Over his face. So we don't know.
He had music hanging on his hip.
Oh, my God.
And we said...
That's crazy.
And we said...
Wait, he had music hanging on his hip?
Yeah, like a little speaker, like a radio or something.
So he was like a little...
Like
a little dancing machine?
Yeah.
He's doing the
I
robot?
Couldn't find him. I drove up and down every street in downtown New Haven. I couldn't find this guy.
There's got to be moonwalking involved, I'm sure.
Maybe. Maybe he didn't exist.
No.
No, everybody saw.
Yeah, apparently.
No,
everybody saw.
It was a hallucination. Everybody saw it.
If it was just John, I'd be like, all right, John. But everybody behind him is like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Spaceman. You couldn't even see his face.
I mean, bad brand of K2, maybe. I don't know. But
right. So as John is talking, somebody in the background said, yeah, he nailed it.
Right.
Like, for weirdest thing today, he nailed it.
He's got the prize right there. Yep.
This is Easter, not Halloween.
The craziest thing?
See, he made a good point there. This is Easter, not Halloween.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The
craziest thing?
That was smoking.
Yeah.
The craziest thing, it ain't at the bus stop. The dude came down here and took a bath in the fountain.
Oh,
that was the craziest. He came down here with some soap, took a bath in the fountain.
Like,
it was lunch hour, and everybody was out here.
So he was straight up naked with soap taking a bath in the fountain?
No, he kept his shorts on, but he was taking a bath.
Do you have any plans for Easter?
Wait, hold it. Where was the fountain?
I'm a green.
It's the fountain in the center of downtown New Haven. You know, with the green.
Yeah.
Do you think the mayor just go home for that?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty
wild.
Every
time I get it. So think about that now. If you see like an aerial view, like, you know, sometimes when you're watching the news stations and they go to the aerial view of downtown New Haven, every time you
see green.
That fountain now.
Yep.
Yeah. Somebody bathed in there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
The fountains around Rome. You're allowed to refill your water bottle. It's like filtered city water.
Yeah.
People just go up and they just start like holding a glass or drink. Like, you can't do that at all.
Yeah,
here.
No.
Forget it.
I don't think you should do it there either, to be honest.
Yeah.
Do you have any plans for Easter?
Nope.
If I'm going to ask you to say a tongue twister, you got to say it three times fast. Okay? It's each Easter, AJ eats 80 eggs.
East Easter, AJ 88 egg. East Easter, 88 egg. I can't do it.
White House chef and decorated U.S. combat veteran, Andre Rush. Good morning, Andre.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you for your service.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How long were you a chef at the White House?
Well, I started there back in 96.
1996. So, well, Clinton.
Yes, Clinton. That was a long time ago.
And he could eat, I heard.
He could eat.
Yeah, he liked McDonald's, too. He liked Big Macs a lot.
So, yeah, that is true, but no one talks about that. They kind of recently talk about the next president more so.
Yeah, so if a president says, I want a bunch of Big Macs, do you go and get it? Do they send someone to get it? And who tests it or checks it?
Well, the truth of the matter, no, I'm not going to get anything like that. I don't need Big Macs, so, you know, but to each his own, it's American food. And it doesn't actually get tested because they won't know who it's for. Oh. So if they know, then, you know, there's cause and, you know, a lot of security goes along with that.
Gotcha.
Yeah, if you're up to a drive through and say, President Clinton wants a Big Mac, now you got to test it.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Right.
What kind of security is there for when we're hosting heads of state? Do you have their Secret Services come through your kitchen?
You're watching
your
cook?
Or is it pretty much trusted that we have it under control?
No, it's pretty much trusted. I mean, you have to be trusted to be there. I mean, if someone has to stand over you 24/7, then you shouldn't be there. I mean, it's a whole process with having your TSSCI, Polly's, Yankee, clearances, yada, yada, and so forth. And I've had mine for over 20-plus years, which is actually extremely hard to do because there's levels to it. So, and you have to go through a lot of other things, so that kind of helps.
What is there a state dinner where you had a lot of celebrities that even you were starstruck?
I don't get starstruck, actually, but I do appreciate a lot of celebrities. I mean, in a job where you get starstruck, it kind of pauses people. I've actually had guys that get starstruck, and they talk to them, but they have a room of protocol. You know, you jump in, you jump out. You know, this is a business, you know, so you can't get caught up in that.
What do you mean? Like, what do you mean?
Like the serving staff?
No, what do you mean by some folks in the kitchen would get too chatty with some of the guests?
Exactly. So if the guests speak to them or talk to them, then they'll start a whole conversation. And that's not what we're supposed to do. You say, you know, someone says, hey, how are you doing? It's like, oh, I'm doing well. And how you doing? And keep going. Not right. How you doing? Oh, my God, I'm so in love with you. I know everything you're doing. And it's just not. That's just not.
That's bad.
Yeah, that's not good protocol.
That's bad.
Was there anything that a head of state requested of you to make that you thought, I don't know how I'm going to make
this? Let me get the cookbook.
No, actually. I mean, I can do anything. I mean, it doesn't matter. Nothing fazed me. I mean, again, like I said, I was in the military. I've eaten bugs before. So
On purpose?
Intentionally?
Or by accident?
That raisin moved.
Can you picture?
Okay. Well, on purpose and by accident.
Okay.
I thought there were sprinkles.
Chef Andre Rush is like cooking up bugs for everyone. Oh, these are the best bugs I've ever had.
Well, you know, it's all seasoning.
Lots of protein.
Yeah, I'm good.
Then he gets back and it's like, it's too much salt. It's like, all right.
Right. Smack in the head.
You know what? You're the right person to have cooking in the White House kitchen because of just your confidence that, one, I'm always going to be a professional. Two, I'm not going to be starstruck. And three, I can make anything.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's who you want in that room.
Is that kitchen always open, like 24/7? Like, say, if like the president wants whatever in the middle of the night, you have to make it for him?
Well, the kitchen is always open. A thing that a lot of people don't know is that the president, they actually have to pay for their food, right?
Oh.
You know, unless it's official dinner or something, they pay for their food.
Really?
It's not cheap.
Is that right?
Wow. They have to pay for their own food. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what? It goes on a tab, and each month it comes out of their salary?
No wonder they're so skinny.
Well, kind of that's kind of like laming it down, but yes, basically.
Okay, so if Joe Biden has eight people over, family, couple of friends, that dinner goes on a tab and then comes out of his salary?
Basically, that's kind of like how it happened.
Wow.
Wow.
The one that did go gray and make believe.
Well, I've talked to a lot of people before. I never knew that, so I learned something today.
I had no idea.
It's interesting.
No.
Well, it's a lot of protocols and things. I mean, you're talking about politics. I mean, not only in this perspective, but also I've worked for a lot of, you know, secretaries and armies, you know, chiefs of staffs, you know, West Point. There's a lot of things that can be misconstrued, and then also on a lawyer or legal boundaries that you cannot do.
Andre Rush is on, U.S. combat veteran, former White House chef. This Call Me Chef, Damn It, veteran's journey from the rural South to the White House is your memoir.
It's a great title.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is. It is, damn it.
Get it right, damn it.
It's being released tomorrow. This is very exciting.
Thank you.
Waiting for the movie.
Yeah, what are we going to learn from this?
You're going to learn a lot of things like I was just that you never knew. The one thing I was in this memoir was extremely transparent when I knew that, not to say that I shouldn't be, but I knew a lot of people wouldn't want me to be. So instead of doing what I was going to do in a political aspect, because I've been in that world a very long time, I just went the other route and just laid everything out the way it is. Being very transparent, open, from where I grew up, military, toxic leadership, 9/11 to just things that people didn't think about, you know. So why I do what I do, is especially with suicide awareness, mental health with kids, sexual trafficking, I just kind of went all over the place. So it's not a typical memoir. It was basically me expressing all of the things that I had forgot about that I wouldn't talk about.
Wow, this sounds exciting. Unlike most books about people, it's on one subject.
Yeah.
And it gets boring and self-indulgent. This sounds really exciting.
You know, it was very different, and I keep hearing that, you know, and it has a lot of emotions with things associated with trauma, with leadership, with happiness, with sadness, with death, with suicide. And I actually went through all those emotions with myself. So it was a conversation I had with myself openly, and I talked about it, and a conversation I would never talk to anyone else. So
we want to have you back.
It's a paper.
I got to let you go for your next segment, but we want to have you back, and I'm going to beat you at push-ups.
Right.
Oh.
And I want some arm exercises. I want arm exercises.
Good luck.
Good luck, damn it!
All right. Thank you. We're linked up on the radio station website to your book, Call Me Chef, Damn It. Chef Andre Rush, thank you. And thank you for your service.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.